Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
Okay, let's get into the Word again. Let's go to our title slide once again. What to do after Thanksgiving? Say, Lord, what should I do after Thanksgiving? Okay. All right, Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. The Apostle Paul wrote, "But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful." Now, we enjoy coming together on Thanksgiving and birthdays or days like that, and Christmas and such, and special times. We appreciate that. And Thanksgiving holiday is one of those occasions. And we, you know, in our nation, it's a really important holiday. My favorite, really. But even when things go wrong in life, you know, we still come together and find something to celebrate. You know, celebration is kind of hardwired inside of us. Even when we're going through difficult times, we'll find occasions to laugh. We'll find an occasion to just celebrate something because we were wired to celebrate, even in the midst of difficult situations. And so we give thanks, not for only what we have, but for we thank God for the people who have helped us to come to the place we are now. When you just begin to think about, even write down, what to thank God for, that list gets longer and longer and longer. As Elder Owen said, we don't take anybody for granted because everybody that God's put in our lives have helped us come to a place where we can say, Lord, thank you. Because we didn't get here by ourselves, obviously. We didn't bless ourselves. We didn't make everything happen ourselves. Of course, what you did was important, but most important was the fact we're thankful for what God has done for us. Now, last week, we learned about five good things that happen when we give thanks. Five things. Number one, when you give thanks, giving thanks helps you reconnect to your foundation. Now, your foundation is your family, your faith, your education, the wisdom you have, the good sense that you have, you know, all the good things that your parents and God put in your life. And sometimes when we are going through a hard place and we aren't thankful, we kind of forget where we came from. We make mistakes. You know, we have in our city youth who have lost their way, some of whom don't even have foundation, but some have foundation. When I talk to young people, I've had occasion sometimes of helping them remember, because somebody told them something important, okay? So what did your mother tell you? What did your grandmother tell you? Somebody told you, what did teacher say to you? Somebody told them something. So when you're in a Thanksgiving mode, you kind of get reconnected to your foundation. Think about that, and it's true. For a lack of Thanksgiving, you find your mind will drift off. You find yourself being fearful, complaining, things like this. But when you're thankful, you reconnect to your foundation. The Bible says, in everything give thanks. Not for everything, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will concerning you. Number two, giving thanks helps keep your life clear of anxiety, worry, and sin traps. Here Philippians 4:6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." That is, request is, tell God what you want. Tell God what you need. I'm going to talk a moment here about my granddaughter. We had a conversation about wants and needs. I'm going to share with you in a moment what we talked about. But the point is, bring everything to God. So then thanksgiving, giving thanks, keeps your life clear of worry. Because you know what? Some of us are worriers. I'm kind of a worrier, only because I see things so clearly, and I'm very practical, and I refuse to deny what I'm looking at. But the thing is, you see it, and if you don't give God thanks, then worry tries to creep into you. But thanksgiving, because you go back to your foundation, God says, you see it, I see it too. Problem is, it doesn't bother me. I got the power to fix it. You got the power to see it. I got the power to fix it. So it works together, right? So then giving thanks keeps us free that way. Number three, giving thanks is a container that allows you to receive and hold blessings and benefits and responsibilities. You know how this works. We all were raised by parents, mom and dad, or grandparents, whomever raised us. Have you noticed that when you showed some appreciation, how much better your life went? How much better things happened? How much more you received from those loved ones? Because they want to give you stuff. They want to bless you, but they have to evaluate, you know, is this child appreciative? Because you know what it is, if you give somebody something they don't appreciate, they're going to tear it up. They're going to discard it. So when we are thankful, we become a container to receive and hold blessings and benefits and responsibilities. Number four, giving thanks puts you in a position to allow God to transform every weakness into a strength. And Paul talked about that in 2 Corinthians when he said he talked about he had an issue and God allowed it. And Paul asked to have it lifted from him. But God said, my grace is sufficient for you. And God said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So Paul said, okay, I got it. I'll gladly boast in this. I'll roll with this. Because when I am weak, I am strong. Say this, when I am weak, then I am strong. Doesn't mean you're a weak person. It just means in the area that you struggle, if you give thanks and give it to God, he will exchange it for strength. That's what God does, amazing stuff, y'all. And he can actually transform a situation you can't see no way out of. You can see no benefit in this weakness you're dealing with. But when you give God thanks, then you put God in position to help you transform that into a strength. So the thing you thought was going to take you under, now you've become, it's a testimony. I mean, you're going beyond getting help. You help other people in the same thing you struggled in. Number five, giving thanks draws you closer to God and closer to the covenant relationships. Now, behind me, you see this graphic of hands. And I wanted to illustrate that, you know, after Thanksgiving, you know, think about being connected, staying connected. We began that discussion last week. But giving thanks draws you closer to God and closer to covenant relationships. You know, David talked about, he said in Psalm 35:18, I will give you thanks in the great assembly. I'll praise you among many people. So something about giving God thanks that makes you appreciate others. For a lack of thanksgiving makes us turn inward, become more selfish. But when we are thankful, then we draw close to God and close to others. All right? So giving thanks to God helps you see life better. Say, giving thanks to God helps me see life better. This is a world full of complaining, ingratitude, greed. I mean, we see it all around us. And also there are people dealing with pain and trauma. So, but when we have, when you give thanks, you see life better. And so when you see life better, you can see your way clear to work through a problem. You can see yourself helping other people. You know, without thanksgiving, other people's problems are like, oh, stay away from me, you know. I can't handle your issue and my issue too. But when you give thanks to God, you have grace to help others. Now, let me talk about what I talked about too with my granddaughter here. Next slide here. Giving thanks helps you see life better. And I talked about my granddaughter, 6-year-old now. How about 6-year-old granddaughter? Not a 15-year-old, 20-year-old, 6-year-old. And I asked my granddaughter, what's the difference between needs and wants? And the context was we're playing with toys and enjoying things and all that. And I said, well, what's the difference between how do needs and wants, how are they different? And at first she said, well, they're the same. You know, I don't see a difference, you know. But then I said, okay. All right, I didn't try to say anything at the time, left it there. The next day, she said, Papa, I know what the difference is now. Okay, I thought this is good. She thought about it. She actually thought about what I asked her and came back a day later and said, I have the answer. I have an answer for you. I said, okay, what's the answer? She said, well, needs are something that help you. All right. But wants are like this. When you get the things you want, you get tired of it and you get spoiled. Oh, man, I thought, okay. And it occurred to me, now again, you know, it's when you have a family gathering, the children listen to adults talk. That's a part of what family's about. That young folk can hear older people talk and glean something, right? And our conversations were talking about we're thankful for this, thankful for that. I also had a birthday celebration for me since we're all gathered. I had a birthday celebration, each one just shared something. And I thought that, you know, I kind of felt like Nora was in an environment of Thanksgiving. And it kind of generated her thinking about, you know, needs and wants being something important enough to think more about it and come back next day and say, I got the answer. I said, you get, that's the answer, girl. Good, good. So, again, six-year-old child, okay, thinking like this. So I appreciate the fact that giving thanks helps you see life better. That's the point. Say, giving thanks helps you see life better. You know, we become sensitive to others. That word sensitive is a nice word. Sensitive means I'm aware. We use the word woke. You know, woke is being, they've destroyed the word woke. You know, it's just, they messed that word all up. But woke just means aware, y'all. So, but when you're sensitive, you're aware. Because, you know, it's easy for us in this world, especially with all the problems, to just kind of pull apart from people and just go inward and stop paying attention because it's too disturbing. Now, I don't advocate, you know, flood your mind with all kind of bad news, but think about it, when you give thanks and you're connected to foundation, all the 5 points earlier, then what happens is you gain the heart of God. The Bible says Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He didn't run from sorrowful situations. He did not hide his face from people who were grieving. He was acquainted with it. And I believe that when we give thanks to God through Christ, we become like Christ. We become people who are acquainted, people of sorrows, not sorrowful people, you follow me, but people who can identify with someone's sorrow and hurt. And that makes us very helpful, doesn't it? Because beyond, you know, people sometimes want to help people, and then, you know, they want to get in and get out. I understand that. But people need long-term, people need consistent help. Not enabling, I mean just helping them. All right, you got that. So here it is, back to the slide. We not only have sympathy, we have empathy. Say, I don't have only sympathy, I have empathy. Now watch this. Sympathy is to feel for somebody. I feel for you. But empathy is to feel with. That's a different level, isn't it? So that's what Thanksgiving does. It helps us become, we say, empathetic as we feel with people, not just for people. Our key scripture is Colossians 3. We're going to finish right here on these 4 points, next 4 points. Watch this again and say, I'm going to highlight words now. But above all these things, put on love. Say, put on love. Which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God, say peace of God.
Peace of God.
Rule in your hearts. To which you were also called in one body, say one body.
One body.
And be thankful, say be thankful.
Be thankful.
So there in that text are the final 4 points I'll make for you today. What to do after Thanksgiving? Well, here we go, right here. Number one, seek those things which are above. Actually, the first was, but above all these things. I should have said above all these things was the first there. But so number one, seek things that are above. Seek higher things and better things for your life. Now, let me say this. Now we go from Thanksgiving into the Christmas season. And, you know, Black Friday was the holiday, quote unquote, after the holiday, Thanksgiving. And, you know, now it's good to buy gifts and get good deals. That's okay. But don't let anything shift your mindset from Thanksgiving then into consumerism. What do I get? What can I get? All this kind of stuff. Again, getting things is good for others especially. But the point is, seek those things that are above. So as we've come through Thanksgiving, had a great Thanksgiving or a difficult, whatever it was, good or bad, happy or sad, after Thanksgiving, first of all, seek those things which are above. Amen. Say, I will seek higher things and better things for my life. Say it again. I will seek higher things and better things for my life. Number two, what to do after Thanksgiving? Put on love. Be a person committed to loving others. Say, well, Pastor, I'm full of love. Yeah, well, show it. Because love, you know, goes beyond a feeling, doesn't it? There's a feeling there, there's a strong feeling of love, but put on love. When Paul said that, Paul to me says, okay, I've got this coat here. Let me put this coat on. You know, you can have things, but then not really wear things. We can possess something and it's in our lives, but not really active in use in our lives. So Paul said, put on love. And I'm saying here, be a person committed to loving others. Now, the scripture only says that love is the bond of perfection. Say, bond of perfection. It doesn't mean we're perfect. It means that loving God and loving people is the best way of becoming better. That makes sense? Yeah. So, bond of perfection is not being perfect. It is going in the direction where loving God, loving others, it is the best way of becoming better. All right, number three. What to do at Thanksgiving? Number three, let peace rule in your heart. Say, Lord, thank you that peace will rule in my heart. You know, in the Navigate series, and I get back to that, I believe, there's more in there, but I made some points. You know, when you navigate, you come up on situations that are very difficult, very distressing, things you just can't handle. It's not for you to handle. And rather than trying to wrestle with things, navigation sometimes dictates you go around it. Navigate don't mean go through it. It don't mean carry it. Navigate sometimes means I'm going around it. Had a flight one time years ago, and you know, in flights, they routinely go around bad storms, but you aren't aware of it always. But this flight, I was aware because, I mean, the plane just banked and it started turning, and I could see the big, huge storm cloud. From my side of the airplane, when he turned, I could see the storm cloud, and he went around the storm cloud. It was too high to go over. You know, some storms are so high, you can't get over it. Some storms are way too high. So the airplane went around the storm, and it seemed to me he went between two storm clouds. But the thing was, he didn't try to go through it. He navigated around it and resumed the journey to where we're trying to go. I'm suggesting to us today sometime that's exactly what you do. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. And because peace is ruling, sometimes peace says, you go this way instead. Sometimes peace say, go through and deal with it. Sometimes. But sometimes peace say, it's not for you to deal with that. Amen. You need to avoid that altogether. Amen. Listen, y'all, sometimes you avoid stuff not by getting close to it and then change direction. No, you see it from way over there. And you start moving before you get there. God showed you things to come sometime. So let the peace of God rule. Don't allow, next point, don't allow confusion and fear to control you. Say, I will not allow confusion and fear to control me. You know, I talk to people, sometimes people say things like, I'm so confused. And no, you're not. I'll say, no, you're not confused. I help them out. Because confusion, if you're confused, you couldn't form thoughts in your mind. You wouldn't know, you couldn't go to work tomorrow. If you're really confused, you couldn't function at all. Don't say I'm confused. Say I got to figure this out. Say I don't know what's happening. But that word confused, If you get into it, look at it. It's if you're really confused. Now I've had some confusion, and it's so bad. You got to sit down and get help and pray. But so then don't allow confusion to control you. Now, if it's real confusion, get some help, get some counsel, get some prayer. But don't just say things like, I'm scared to death. I'm so confused. Don't use words like that. Right? Because why? Peace is ruling. People who are at peace don't deny there's a problem, a major problem. But people who are at peace don't let the problem change their heart. Remember that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Who's the Prince of Peace?
Jesus.
Those aren't just words, everybody. Friends, neighbors, brothers. He's the Prince of Peace. So that means he knows how peace works. He knows how to give it, how to restore it, how to keep you in it. Number four, final point. What to do at Thanksgiving? Number four, stay connected to others and always be thankful. See, Lord, thank you. I will stay connected to others and always be thankful. Let's go back to that text, if we could, from Colossians. Read this one more time as we wrap up. I'm finished right now, actually. I want to just encourage us that Thanksgiving is wonderful. Sometimes it's difficult. But now after Thanksgiving, don't forget this, that Thanksgiving holiday is past, but we are yet giving thanks. We don't need a holiday to give thanks to God. We thank God. It's a great holiday. But we don't really need it to make us say thank you, because our lifestyle dictates. So Colossians 3 again, verse 14 says, but above all these things, in fact, read with me if you can read it. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Again, that last point again, we were saying, stay connected to others and always be thankful. Have you found that it's really difficult to stay encouraged all by yourself? You found it out yet? It is very hard to be encouraged when you're all by yourself. But when you're connected to others, especially people who have faith, who are also those given to thank God, then, you know, you encourage them, they encourage you. Iron sharpens iron. Sometimes I call people just because I know I'm going to be encouraged by the conversation. Folk call me for the same reason. They know I'm going to encourage them. They can call and share the dream and share the vision. I'm going to just build it up and all that. I mean, you know the people in your life who do that for you. And so stay connected in one body and be thankful. Praise God. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the Thanksgiving holiday, which is now past. But though the holiday is past, we are still giving thanks.